الله عليه وآله وسلم. He also welcomed us all back to Halaqat after the break we had. The break was also, inshallah, a break of ibadah. It was not a break of go and play. It was also a break from one ibadah or another ibadah. All of us, whether those of us who were at home, or those of us that Allah permitted to travel for Hajj, the break we had from our class was a break of from one ibadah to another ibadah. It was a break from a discussion on Nawafil Islam to some practical aspects of Iqamat al-Tawheed. It was a break from discussions on the things that spoil the individual of Islam, the things that make a Muslim become a non-Muslim. It was a break from that into activities that affirm the Tawheed of the Muslim. All of us who are at home, we stop at the Hijjah, the Qa'da, in one of the months of Hajj. Because Allah told us in the Quran that Al-Hajju Ashhur A'limat. Al-Hajju Ashhur Ma'limat. That the Hajj is made in months that are known. The Hajj is made in known months. That is, the months of Hajj are known. And the months of Hajj are three. The months of Hajj are Shawwal, Dhulqa'da, and Dhulhijjah. These three months, if an individual is performing the Hajj called Hajj Tamattu, or even Hajj al-Qiran, because there are three forms of Hajj. There are three means of performing Hajj. The first way of performing Hajj is what they call Hajj al-Ifrad. You make Hajj alone. You make Hajj alone, without Umrah. And that is by starting to perform the Hajj on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. Because Hajj proper itself starts on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, a day before Yawm al-Arafah. Yawm al-Arafah is the 9th day of Dhul-Hijjah. So the individual performing Ifrad starts performing Hajj on that day, because performing Hajj is no Umrah. So this kind of Hajj is called Hajj al-Ifrad. There is also Hajj al-Qiran. And that was what was performed by the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam performed Hajj al-Qiran. That is Qiran. قَرَنَ بَيْنَ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ. He connected between Hajj and Umrah. And the difference between this second and Hajj al-Tahattu, which is also a connection between Hajj and Umrah, are about two or three. In Hajj al-Qiran, you have your Hajj. From Medina, he had his movement. He had his Rafi. So if you want to perform Hajj al-Qiran from home here, or from before Makkah, you buy your Rafi. And as you move along in Makkah, above Fatima, as you move along in Makkah from Raybash to Haram, you and your Ram. Wherever you go, your Ram is with you. It's easier, it's going to be a bit uneasy. So the person performing Qiran comes from home or from before the Qiran, which is what? Qiran. That he's going to slaughter for Hajj. And when he finishes his Umrah, He will not go off the shram. He will be in the shram until Yawm al-Hajj al-Akbar, the 10th day after Tawaf al-Ifada. He will make Umrah that he can make from Shawwal. He will make the Umrah and he will be in Ihram until Muharram, until Dhul-Hijjah, Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, before going off Ihram. So that is Hajj al-Qiran. And that was what the Prophet did, alayhi salam. The Prophet performed Hajj al-Qiran. Although he wished to perform Hajj al-Qiran, alayhi salam. And he commanded those who are not holding the Ihram to perform Hajj al-Qiran. He wished to perform Hajj al-Qiran. Because he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, وَلَوْ اِسْتَقْبَلَ أَمْرِي وَلَوْ اِسْتَقْبَلْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِي مَسْتَقْبَلْتُ حَجَّ. If what had gone past, what had passed in my affair was to be brought forward now, I would not have held around this ram that I had carried from Medina, I would not have carried it. The Prophet said, so alayhi salam. The hadith is inside. Hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah. And we said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the people, the rest of the Muslims, to perform Hajj Tamattu. Because they are continuing, oh Messenger of Allah, the meaning of Tamattu is after the Umrah, you will go off Ihram, you are free, as you were, no restrictions, until the 8th of the Hijjah, when you now have Hajj. You are free, you can have your family with you. In fact, the ulama say at-tamattu al-haqiqi is that the individual is with his wife. And you'll be enjoying her after that umrah until the day of Hajj. And that was why Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he said the companions are saying to the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, O Messenger of Allah, we did not come here to enjoy our lives. We came here for Hajj, for ibadah, we want ibadah. The Prophet was annoyed. He says, Ala khayrukum wa asfakum, I'm better than half. I say you should do this. Alayhi salatu. They say, oh, we come here for ibadah. We didn't come here for women. He said, no. That you enjoy your family when you are with them in Hajj, making tabattu with them itself is part of Hajj. He says, wa kana fadlullahi alayka azimah. Real folk, and anybody who goes on the Hajj, wallahi ikhwan, after some 10-15 days, you start killing your family. And that's why after the Hajj itself, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was telling the people, go home back to your family. Go back to your family. So ulama say from the sunan of Hajj is that you don't wait behind, you rush back home to your family. Alayhi salatu. He doesn't want us to stay away. So there are three types of Hajj. Hajj al-Ifrad, Hajj al-Qiran, and Tamattu. Tamattu and Qiran means we perform Umrah and then we perform Hajj. In Qiran, we will not go off our Ihram until we have performed Hajj. In Tamattu, we will go off Ihram and then start performing Hajj. What we want to bring from that is that you can perform that Umrah in the month of Shawwal. The Umrah refers to here in these forms of Hajj. It's not an Umrah you perform in Ramadan. It is an Umrah that must be performed in one of the months of the Hajj, either Shawwal or Dhul-Qa'dah or Dhul-Hijjah. You can come to Mecca from the beginning of Shawwal, that is the first day after Ramadan, and perform Umrah to make Hajj of that year. And you wait there the whole of Shawwal, the whole of Dhul-Qa'dah, and then the whole period of Hajj for Dhul-Hijjah before you come in Hajj. So what we are saying is that Hajj actually starts from any time from Shawwal. Hajj starts from any time from Shawwal. So we ended our classes in Zulqa'dah court, and all of us, our brothers at home who want to perform the slaughtering of the ram and then make Eid al-Kabir, everybody, people have started making preparations, particularly for some of us who went very late. Some of our brothers had gone, Abu Ahmad, Abu Fatima, and the rest of the brothers, we are gone from earlier. So what we are saying is, before we left, our discussions were on Nawaqib al-Islam, the things that spoil the individual's Islam. When we broke, we had a break. We break, we had the break for another act of worship. Not a break for frivolity, not a break for play, but a break, like we said, for actualization of Tawheed. Everything about time actualizes Tawheed. When the individual goes for Hajj from his home, what he has in mind is that لبيك اللهم حجا لا سمعة فيه ولا رياء. O Allah, I answer your call to make a Hajj. لا سمعة فيه. No form of hearsay. I'm not making the Hajj to be heard. ولا رياء. And I'm not making the Hajj to be seen. Not to seek publicity and not to be seen by the people. This is from the epitome of material actualization of Tawheed. Because one of the smallest and most senior forms, most obscure forms of shirk is Riya. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu called it shirk. He called it shirk. And that's why some scholars like Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah believe that it actually takes a person out of Islam. Although it's a weak opinion. But it goes to show how dangerous riya could be. May Allah save us from it. So the person going for Hajj outside, going to perform Hajj, he thinks about that. And when he goes in Ihram, he makes this effort, in Tarbiyah. لبيك اللهم عمرتك. If he's making Hajj al-Qiran or Hajj al-Tamattu. لبيك اللهم عمرتك. Oh Allah, here I am. Here I am. He's declaring Tawheed. لبيك اللهم. Here I am, oh my Lord. عمرتك. To perform عمرتك. So that is from the affirmation of what? Tawheed. And when he starts, immediately he says, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ عُمْرَةً. The first thing he begins to say, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ. Here I am. I answer you, Allah. لَبَّيْكَ. Here I am. لَبَّيْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ لَبَّيْكَ. Here I am. لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. You do not have any partner. You do not have an equal. No one is equivalent to you, O Allah. Labbaik. I am here. Inna alhamda. Certainly, all praises. Wa ni'mata. All favors. All mercy. Laka. They belong to you. Declaring Tawheed. Wal-mulk and authority. You own authority. If the king of Saudi Arabia is performing Hajj, he too is saying, Wal-mulk, he is Maliku, king, Malik Abdullah. But he will say, himself too, he will say, Wal-mulk, inna alhamda, wal-ni'mata, laka, wal-mulk. He will be saying, he too will say all praises, all thanks, all favors, all authority belongs to Allah alone. La sharika lak. Nobody is like you. Nobody is equal to you. Nobody is equivalent to you in anything. The time that he is saying is, Allah has asking to remove all his clothes. He's not wearing any clothes, except two pieces of clothes. The one is tying up and the one is tying down. The one up and the one down. Seamless clothes. Clothes he must not include hands where the hands will go into, where the feet will go into. Just wrappers. No matter how rich he is. But why? No matter how rich he is, he will do it. And as he is doing that, he will be declaring the praise of Allah alone. La sharika lak, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Oh Allah, I am here for you. I'm here. I declare myself. I answer you. This is what the pilgrim will be doing. And he will be doing that until he gets into Makkah. When he sees the houses of Makkah, he stops. He drops his load and goes for tawaf. When he gets to Al-Hajar al-Aswad to commence tawaf, the first thing he will do is what? Allahu Akbar Tawheed. He will raise his hands. Allahu Akbar. He will make tawaf. When he's making tawaf, he has it in mind that Allah has this house. This is the house of Allah I'm going around. And he will be making supplications, he will be making azkar, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, he goes to Al-Safa wal-Marwa. Min sha'a'irillah. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna al-Safa wal-Marwa min sha'a'irillah. This verse was revealed and mentioned by some of the companions, one of whom is Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. He said the companions did not like to make sa'i. They didn't like to make sa'i because during Jahiliyyah, the Arabs used to put idols at Safa and idols at Marwa. So when Allah said they should make sa'i, they said no, they don't want to make. The Prophet told them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السَّعِيَ فَصْحَوْا. Allah has ordered you to make sa'i, so make sa'i. They say they don't want to make sa'i. This Safa and Marwa that idolaters used to put idols there, we will not make it. So Allah revealed his vow. Yes, although they used to do that, that has ended. And all those idols have been removed. That does not mean that those sites are not still sacred to me. I still hold them sacred. So yes, they were doing evil there. Remove the evil and do what is good there. So make sa'i. Allah says, Inna Safa wal Marwa min sha'a'irillah. Safa and Marwa, they are from the symbols of Allah. فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ وَإِعْتَمَرْ. Whoever makes hajj of Allah's house, أو إعتمر أو makes أخرى, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ. فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ. There is no sin on him. But the ulama say, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ. They are means that it is obligatory on them to make that sa'i. And what tawaf that they should make tawaf, that they should make sa'i between Safa and and as it's making Safa and Marwa, he's remembering Allah, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, as he goes and comes back. Likewise, when he cuts his head, we go and cut the head. All of these, ta'abudan lillahi ta'ala wahdahu, la sharika. The pilgrim goes always by way of drawing near to Allah alone. So the Hajj, the entirety of Hajj itself, is establishment of Tawheed. And when the Hajj starts until the day of Arafat, the day of Muzdalifah, all of that, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, that's the Shia. That is the symbol of Hajj, Tawheed. Allah is our disaster. And when all of us assume we want to slaughter, what do we say? Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Allah who has made this animal. What did he say in that? He says, وَبَلَّنَّا عَلَهُ فَمِنْهَا رَكُوبُهُمْ وَمِنْهَا يَأْكُلُونَ وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِرُ وَمَشَارِبُ أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Allah says, وَذَلَّلْنَا عَلَهُمْ These animals, ذَلَّلْنَا عَلَهُمْ We bowed them, we brought those animals down for you. فَمِنْهَا رَكُوبُهُمْ Some of those animals, you keep them as right. وَمِنْهَا يَعْقُوبُ Some of them, you do what? You eat them. Allah says, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا And human beings have benefits. Mashai, Fata, taking drink from them. He says, أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ Are you not going to be grateful to me? Unfortunately, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَا لَعَلَّهُمْ يُنصَرُونَ After I have done all these things for you, people take honor that they have slaughtered. So it means when we slaughter the animals, what we should we remember? It is Allah that has eased these animals from you. So we say, إِنَّا صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ For Allah, we slaughter for Allah. That is why I said our break was a break from the discussions about Tawheed into practical warfare. We beg Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our acts of worship. Those of us at home who were slaughtering the ram, may Allah accept it. He said the blood, he will not eat it, and he will not drink the, he will not eat the flesh, nor drink the blood. And actually he does not, He told us why he was very easy for us to slaughter, so that you know that I created him. And, ikhwan, when we slaughter those rams, we, it doesn't occur to us that we are unfair to the rams, does it? Do we think, I'm not fair, I'm kicking this ram? Do you think like that? So that is the same way you should not think Allah is cheating you when he orders you to worship him. People say, this is our reason, isn't it? You don't think when you think Allah has eased for you, when you do it, you enjoy it. As you like. Because you think you bought them with your money, you didn't create them. But Allah who created you, when he says now worship me, you think, oh, this one is too difficult. The Ram is not saying it's difficult. It allows you to cut me. So, all of that is for us to know that there is no one that worship is due for. There is no one that deserves worship except who? Allah. And no other. So, we will continue, inshallah, with our discussions on the things that spoil that tawheed. Things that spoil tawheed. Nawaqid al-Islam. And we picked a book to read. Nawaqid al-Islam by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Ibn Sulaiman At-Tabin. In our previous classes, we discussed the fact that he started the book with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And we mentioned why those scholars commence their books by saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A number of reasons. One of them is because all the books Allah revealed to mankind started with Bismillah. Torah, Bismillah, Injil, Bismillah, Zabur, and all the Anbiya were taught Bismillah. Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, when he built his boat, by what did Allah say he should move the boat? فَقَالَ ارْكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ When Sulaiman wrote the book, what did he start the letter with? إِنَّهُ مِنْ سُلَيْمَانِ وَإِنَّهُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ So the books before the Quran all started with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We explain what does it mean to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And thereafter, we mention many acts of worship that we have to perform by starting with what Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Then after he went into the book itself, that the author says that we should know that anna nawaqid al-islami asharatu nawaqid, that the things that modify the individual Islam are 10. We mentioned the reasons why we mentioned 10. That the ulama say here akhfaruha, these 10 are the most dangerous. Wa akhtaruha wuku'a, and they are the most committed by the people. That is why we mentioned 10. The most dangerous things that modify the individual Islam. And those ones that people commit most of. Otherwise, the things that nullify the individual's Islam are far much more than. We mentioned the scholars who said that. Amongst them, Sheikh Abdullah Aziz, Ibn Abdullah, Ibn Baz, and others. And we tried to explain the fourth point. That he said, Rahimahullah, Al-Awwal, الشرك في عبادة الله وحده لا شريك. The first, the most dangerous, like he said, أخطرها وأكثرها وقوعا. أخطرها, the most dangerous, the most pernicious, وأكثرها وقوعا. That people commit most often is what? الشرك في عبادة الله. People direct ibadah meant for Allah alone, people direct it to other than Allah. A shirk. And we mentioned those things that we may not really pay attention to, that directing them to other than Allah is shirk. Like al-mahabba, love. Love, yes. We worship Allah by means of loving Him and not loving any other than Him, more than Him, or like Him. Not loving anything like we love Allah. Not loving anything like we love Allah. Brothers, I said this many times, and sisters, we need to pay attention to our minds, to our souls. We need to have time to ask our souls that question. Who do you love best? Who do you like best? Asking yourself. Who do I like best? Is it Allah? Is it Allah that I like best to the extent that I don't want to offend Him at all? I'm ready to offend everybody instead of displeasing Allah. Do we love Allah to that extent? If we don't sit down to ponder, we will not be able to have this answer. We will not be able to arrive at an answer. And if we don't arrive at an answer, there is a deep question of the Islam of the individual. If you love somebody and that person wants you to do something that contradicts Islam, are you not ready to compromise what Allah says because of that individual? Out of love for that individual, the intensity of the love you have for that individual makes you feel you can contradict Allah's injunction. Allah says, see that one, this one I'm okay. Do we not think like that? When the individual thinks like that, then he's knocking the doors of the shirk. The individual must be ready to calm down, to make his Islam a conscious Islam. An Islam he chooses to do. Willing, Islam will be willing. You willingly submit to Allah. This is Islam. You like Allah. So you love to follow Him, and you are following Him, you are performing Salah, you wear hijab, you obey your husband, you please your husband, because you love Allah. Because that love will make you love everything that Allah loves. Why? When you both, they say, if you love me, you love my dog. done. So why do we love Allah and not like Allah's deen? Why will we love Allah and have reservation for anything inside Allah's deen? Means we really need to ask ourselves questions. And that is the reason why after Allah, the next most beloved thing to us must be the Prophet Muhammad. Why? Because that is the person Allah likes best. And that is the person Allah told us to love. And that is the person that Allah told us that the way for me to know that you like me is for you to like and follow Muhammad. You woman telling you to love his own dog. Allah says love Muhammad. When you love Muhammad, I know that you love me. When you follow Muhammad, I know that you love me. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Loving the Prophet Muhammad is a symbol of love of Allah. Now the question is, do we love the Prophet Muhammad like that? That is question two. Question one, how much love do we have for Allah? Question two, do we love the Prophet Muhammad because of that intense love for Allah? Love is worship. It's a way of, in fact, it's one major way of worship, love. When you love a thing, you can do anything for that thing. See, look here, people like the point. They want to be in power. And by that, they can do anything to remain in power. How is that? Can you do anything to remain beloved by Allah? Can you do anything? This love of Allah is what brings the istiqamah upon deen. It will make you mustaqeem. It will make you strong upon your religion when you love Allah. When Bilal ibn Rabah was being punished, I was saying, Ahad, Ahad. It was God's love that was controlling him, if you ever wonder. Sumayya, the first individual who was killed for the sake of Allah. She was told to insult the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu. She said, I can't insult him. That is that love. The love of Allah and the love of the Prophet Muhammad. How is our own? But we can't solve that problem when we are busy. It's something we need to sit down and think about. And what people we are relating with, who don't want us to love Allah and the Messenger more than everything, they keep us busy. Yes. One of the evils of this generation is that we are busy. We not. When you pick a phone, you can remain on that phone for 3 hours without raising your head up. It's a sickness, it's a generational sickness. We not. They tell us that when the brain is just passive, watching, it becomes dollar. But when the brain is active, watching, trying to solve a problem, trying to look for solutions to a problem, it becomes heavier and sounder. But they keep us dumb. When people say, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi salam, instead of saying, Astaghfirullah, 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 Allahumma anta as-salam, wa minka as-salam, tabarakta ya zal-jalali wal-ikram, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika, wa hun anoda, you pick your phone, isn't it? The phone. Or Salah on the phone beings or things. Whichever. You almost feel like, I think it's Darura, let me pick the phone first. You feel like that. Then there is trouble. Who do you love?
For whose sake are you ready to leave everything you have? When Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was leaving everything he had, radiallahu anhu, for what? It is that love. Al-Mahabba is very important, but little talked about. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, fear evil. When you love somebody and you revere somebody and you fear him, forget it that you never offend that person. When these two things combine, love, you love him, you respect him, you revere him, you hold him in high esteem, and then you fear him, you will never offend that person. That fear will make you know, each time I say, don't do something, you run away. That guy, he will crush me if I do that, you run away. That is the kind of fear most subordinates have for their bosses in their office. You say, Oh God will take that from you. You have that same fear for Allah. Or more. Because you must have more for Allah. You must fear Allah more than everything. But Shaitan is not fear it. People still fear Babalawo. We should not have any Muslim who should have in his heart any iota of fear for any person called Babalawo. One funny individual, a funny man, check the meaning. One funny man will wear wet clothes, will carry a calabash, and will be hitting some funny drums, comes in front of you, say, if you don't give me money, you can't go. People out of fear, give them money. Fear for this one? What did Allah say? He said, Inna ma ذلكم الشيطان إن ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياء. That is how Shaitan behaves. He makes you fear his people. فلا تخافوهم وخافوني. Don't fear them. Fear me. إن كنتم مؤمنين. If you are believers. It means the believer doesn't fear the agent of Shaitan. Today, Muslims fear agents of Shaitan. Muslims who fear agents of Shaitan. These two things, loving and fearing, they are the pillars of worship. Love will make you do good deeds. Fear will make you run away from evil deeds. Somebody knows that any person who does zina, Allah will be gracious. On the day of fear, so you are afraid you run away. Aha. Allah catch you. This is another rampant evil now. Very well. May Allah protect us. So, brothers, these two pillars of worship must be strengthened. We must establish it further. Then, other acts of worship, tawbah, salat, zakat, Ramadan, Hajj. Will be easy when these two are strong on the ground. Because these two will move the others. Very, very important. Loving and fearing Allah. Subhanahu. It will keep us firm. It will help us to have hope in Him. So these are ibadah. We said we must not direct them to anybody but who? Allah. When we direct them to anybody apart from Allah, we are making what? Shirk. And we mention the love that is allowed for us to have for other people. We said that is al-mahabbatu al-tabi'iyya. That is natural love, instinctive love, love that comes. Usually out of mercy. Usually out of showing mercy for that individual. Like the love we have for our children, like the love we have for our parents, like the love we have for our wives. These are Allah. And that is why when your wife tells you to do something, Allah praises. Don't do it. When your husband tells you to do something, Allah has praises. Don't do it. When the parents order us to do what Allah praises, don't do it. When the parents command you to do what Allah prohibits, don't do it. Because the parents themselves, it is Allah that orders us to obey them, isn't it? When you obey your parents, Allah will love you more. It means the lacuna, as they say, the power of authority to obey the parents came from Allah. So when the parents are saying, but Allah that gave them authority to obey, that gave you authority to obey, them should not be obeyed, they are inadvertently cutting off themselves from what? Obedience. Do we understand? Let's assume there's a government of a state, and that government appoints local government chairman. One local government chairman, after he ate and his belly is still not, he says, oh, stop obeying the governor, obey me. What will you say about him? His belly is still not. He's tired of work. Likewise, we must obey the parents because Allah has said we should obey. But when they command us to disobey Allah, that's what Allah says. وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. And then he said عليه السلام, لَا طَاعَةَ لِلْمَخْلُوقِ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. The created being must not be obeyed by way of disobeying the one who creates the Son of God. So these are acts of worship. And the author himself gave two examples of acts of worship where people easily commit shirk. The first one he mentioned, rahimahullah, was azabfuli ghayrillah, people slaughtering for other than Allah. People slaughter, making slaughter for other than Allah. People slaughter for other than Allah. كَمَنْ يَغْبَقُ لِلْجِنِّ أَوْ لِلْقَبْرِ. Like an individual who slaughters for a jinn, he slaughters for a Baba Kikiri, as they say. We have to slaughter in Yoruba, sometimes they call it a tutu. When a person makes that and slaughters for that purpose, he's committing what? Shirk. The annahu yasbahu yagayilillah. The shirk is very common among Yoruba and other people too. People slaughter for other than Allah. Some people will say there are masquerades in family homes. So when the family does something, the masquerade must come out, so they have to slaughter something. When you slaughter or you contribute for that, you are knocking the door of what? Shirk. You are spoiling your Islam. You are saying that you are no more a Muslim with that action. That is the meaning. If you are nullifying your Islam, don't nullify your Islam. Don't say your family is a family that holds Oshoshobo. Don't do it. Don't stop shirk in all its forms. Don't slaughter for any other than Allah. When you slaughter for Allah, for example, like the Aqiqah, you have a baby, Allah blesses you with the baby. On the seventh day, you slaughter Allah. For Allah. On the day of Eid, like you described, you do what? You slaughter Allah. For who? Allah. These ones are allowed. Or you want to eat food, you slaughter a ram. When you slaughter this ram, you are not slaughtering the ram for yourself. What you are doing is you want the meat of that ram. So you're slaughtering for the meat. The other people, it is actually the slaughtering that they need. Sometimes they don't need the meat. When we eat, it is the meat we want. So while the other one, our desire in it is secondary, in the other one, when people slaughter, the desire for it is what? Primary. Do we understand? Somebody goes to meet somebody he thinks is a Muslim imam. They call them Al-Anfar. And the Al-Anfar comes up and says, oh, you have to slaughter something. Be careful. Because most of those are referred to, not all of them, they have genes that they relate to. That is why this author says, Kamaniyam within the gene. Such as the one who slaughters for a gene. They have gene companions that bring brings information or that bring information to them or that help them do certain things. That is why usually those who say they want to make some fetish things for people to get money, they will always ask for some slaughters, either of a cattle or a ram or a camel or a human being. Human being can be an elderly, can be a young girl, can be they always ask for something to slaughter for those genes. And what the genes will do maximum is to go to a bank and steal the money and come and give to them. But you must appease them with something. You must seek to please them with something. When you do that, the person back part, that person has committed what? Shirk. That person has nullified his Islam. If he wants to pray again, he should say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. He should retake Islam again. Anybody who has done it before, restate your Islam again. Otherwise, your salat is the salat of the mushrik. Allah will not accept it. If the Christian comes in here now and says, Allah, Allah, what's up in the mouth? Will you pray here? We will not. Until we have affirmed his Islam or her Islam. As the case may be when the person is not full with women. So if a person is engaged in shirk, destroy, slaughter, saying that he's looking for money. Some people will say when they get the money, they will spend it in the cause of Allah. إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَيِّمُ اللَّهَ يَصْبَرْ إِلَّا فَيِّمَا Allah is clean. He only accepts that which is clean. Allah is not in need of your dirty money. So we say, okay, we will do it. When we finish, we do Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. To come back to Islam. قُلْ أَبِ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ If it's Allah or His sign that you are joking. So all these practices should be killed. These practices should be abandoned. In all senses, in every sense, somebody is looking for a job, they say, slaughter something for. Somebody has a sickness that is reoccurring, they say, slaughter something for. Recently, I was reading an article on sexual perversion. And they discovered that there is a sexual perversion, Yoruba call it Okoru, is a lie. It may be a gene, no doubt. Just like if you have headache, a gene may be knocking your head. Do you know that? You don't know. A gene may be knocking your head, so you have headache. And headache can just be normal, like any other headache. Perhaps that results because you have stressed up. When your eyes fail you, a gene may be putting the hands in your eyes. Do you know that? It happened to the wife of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. She was complaining of her eyes. I said it was a gene that was putting the hands, disturbing her eyes. So whatever medicine she took would not survive until she made rupiah on it. It stopped. So if you have anything you can't explain, hold your head and recite ayat al-kursi, it will go be ibnillah. So, when you say fasting, it does not result to make another fasting. Do you understand? So don't let them take you to an affair that will say it's not happening. Any boy is always having headache. You say, oh, we understand. Go and look for a black man. They want to introduce you to shirk. Or a lady does not have a child. And it is Allah that gives children. What did he say, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Lillahi mulku samawati wal ardu. Yahabu liman yasha'u inatha. Wa yahabu liman yasha'u dhukur. How to dawiduhum bukranan. وإناثا ويجعل من يشاء عقيما. Allah says, the power and authority of the heavens and the earth belong to Him alone. Look at this declaration. All power and authority everywhere, I own it. Allah says so, and it is true. One clear evidence. Nobody has had power yesterday and still remains it today. Those who have power today will not remain forever. But the one who has power, all those power, who gave some to those? Because whoever has authority on the earth is given that authority by Allah. Anybody that has authority, anybody, Muslim, Christian, Mushrik, anything, Jayan, Pantheist, anybody who has any sort of authority on the earth, Allah said, take use. Allah gave it to me, you. And that's why you respect people of authority. Muslims or non-Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not disrespecting the leaders of the mushrikun. He respected them, but he was criticizing their shirk. He was disconnecting from their shirk, but he was not disgracing them as individuals. He was talking to them, he was preaching to them earlier. The non-Muslims, the Christians, when they approached him, he treated them well. Their leaders. And yet he would say, Ta'ala ila kalimatin sawa, kum baynana wa baynakum Allah, na'abuda illa Allah. Come, let us discuss this matter. Let you and us not worship anybody but who? Allah. So every person who has power and authority is given that power and authority by Allah. So you respect it to your power and authority. So Allah says, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. Whomever Allah desires, He gives them female children. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورَ. And whomever He likes, He gives males, أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ, or that He combines them, ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا, males and females. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. And then who He wills, He makes them not have anyone. Don't think that I can't do that one too. I can do it. Look at the cranium we have. That is this bone on our head that is encircling our medulla oblongata. Do you know a child was born recently without a cranium? So don't think I can't create that one too. I can create it. A cranium. That covers the brain. The child was born without cranium on the head. I do what I like. Inna rabbaka fa'alu lima yurid. I do what I like. Intensity, emphasis. I do it as I like. Don't let them tell you that the reason why you have not given birth to the baby is because of one thing you need to slaughter a ram for. When they say slaughter ram, don't slaughter. Don't slaughter. They want to introduce you to shirk. And this is common in the community. Don't pray to the imam of your mosque. The imam may be committing his shirk too, not knowing that it is shirk that he is committing. And he may as well know that it is shirk. And unfortunately, when he stands up and go, he will say it's a shahada again. You will not know. Many of them are like that. When they mislead the people and you go away, they talk again. They say, we know it is wrong. But the person you did it to, you encouraged to slaughter around for your gene. You didn't tell that person that it's a shirk. They will say they know that it's wrong. Aha, do this a lot. Or Al-Mufa, if you choose to call it. All these things should stop because they nullify the people's Islam. There are some that it's not genes that they slaughter. They go to their father's grave site. Say, Baba, I'm a muscle arrow. The man is dead already. Between you and that Baba, that you are saying it's a muscle arrow. It's a lot of gas, no power. You will not hear what you are saying. إنك لا تسمع الموتى ولا تسمع الصم الدعاء. The way the dumb does not hear call. That's the way the dead does not hear what you say. The dumb, the deaf, does not hear what you say. When we were younger than this, if someone says, give me money, one behind us, while we were in the secondary school, somebody behind us says, hey, you, hey. If he does, he says, just give me one slap. Bah, it means he's dead. Do you understand? Well, you know, I trust my mouth without saying it. It's like a, that is saying, give me, yeah, I can't see, I just don't. Somebody behind me says, I'll take the money now. If he looks back like, as he's looking, they give him a slap. But if the person is truly there, la, that's now. He will not care. You know what Allah says? Allah says, who are like any summer who master their bulaku. If it were possible for them to hear, they cannot answer. Allah says, inside the room, if you call those people in the grave, Sheikh Funa, people do it a lot. Al-Badrawi, I was in a town in far inside Shibrin village in Egypt. There's a graveyard there, one Badrawi or one. I said, what are they doing? I said, these people are worshipping the dead. Then that's a woman, the tuna, caravan. For it, grave. They believe that the people in that grave can give them child, can give them money, can cure them of their sicknesses and all of this. So by way of appeasing them, they slaughter for them. Shirk. Allah says, enter the room. If you call on these people, la yasma'un du'a'akum, they cannot hear your supplications. Wallahu, now, sami'u, if it were possible for them to hear, mastajabu lahum, they cannot answer you. Not only that, wa yawm al-qiyamati yakfuruna bishirkikum, this shirk you are doing, you are joining these people with Allah. When it is Allah alone that you should call, you are fool. They will deny you the name of Allah. We don't know these people. They are not coming up. We didn't tell them to call us. We didn't tell them to call us. Allah says, "Wala yunabbi'uka mithlu khabir." This is an Arabic way of saying that there is no best person to tell you about the condition of the dead person like Allah himself. Nobody can give you an information about an affair like the one who knows that affair better than every other person. So my dear brothers, shirk in all his forms. He gave the example of people slaughter for their graves. I heard about a year ago, somebody who thought he was having recession in his businesses, he went to Al-Fab and he told him he should carry around. His father was a scholar who was teaching and malam. He said he should take a ram to the grave of that father. He took a ram there and slaughtered there. Shirk! Any person who does that should come back and say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله and come back to Islam new Islam, new Muslim. So all these aspects of shirk, we should close the doors to them. We should tell the people about it. Islam is not restricted to you, nor is it restricted to me. Islam is for all. One of the scholars was explaining a verse of the Quran we read every day. Why do we say Iyaka na'abudu? Why don't we say Iyaka a'abudu? It's a declaration. Oh Allah, you alone, Iyaka na'abudu. It is supposed to be na'abudu Iyaka. My language says, تَقْدِيمُ مَا حَقُّهُ التَّأْخِيرُ تُفِيدُ الْحَقِّ. What should ordinarily come later, when it is brought forward, it means it is restricted to that thing. It is supposed to be ma'abudu iyyaka. But we say iyyaka, na'abudu. So the maf'ul comes before the fi'l and the fa'il together. It says to fi'l al-hafi. No one will we worship except you. It's a declaration. But why do we say na'abudu? Why don't we say a'abudu? Just that individuals should have been taking that testimony. Rather than I simply making the testimony, but on behalf of God. Why? The ulama said the reason is that when I worship Allah, I should not be satisfied that I alone am worshiping Allah. I should want to invite others to worship Allah with me. Allah, as I worship you alone, the same way I'm going to call people to worship you alone. That is the meaning of Iyaka Na'abudu, meaning Allah, you alone will I worship. And to your worship alone will I invite people. I will never invite people to worship any other person, but who? You. So we say Ibina, myself and all those people. Me, myself, and all those people that I have invited, Ibina Sirata. Some of us among the ulama say, okay, another meaning of Iyaka Na'abudu is that Iyaka Na'abudu, I'm not the only one. As I worship you now, that was how Adam worshipped you, Muhammad, Noah, Hud, Salih. So I'm not alone. I'm with those people who worship you. I am with people who worship you. All the meanings are correct. We are with them. And we will not stop at being the only one that will give service to who? To Allah alone. So dear brothers, this was the point we have reached in our book before we went on our break that we talked about. The next point we'll read, inshallah, is Athani man ja'ala baynahu wa baynallahi wa sa'id يدعوهم ويسألهم الشفاعة ويتوكل عليهم كفر إجماع من جعل بينه وبين الله وسائل يدعوهم ويسألهم الشفاعة ويتوكل عليهم كفر إجماع من جعل بينه وبين الله وسائل whoever places between himself and Allah intermediaries. Whoever places intermediaries between himself and Allah, yad'uhum, those are the people that he is calling, supplicating to, invoking. وَيَسْأَلُهُمْ الشَّفَاعَةَ And he is asking them to help him intercede before Allah. People say they are not worshiping Sango. They always say that Sango should help them appease the lady man. Oh, it is bad because that attribute, that intercession is shirk. Allah does this one. Joining partners. So when they do that, we have to work and they depend on them. Some people it is for sure should go and they depend on. I'm sure we do it for you. Some, okay, but then we do it for you. Okay, but then cannot do anything for itself. Okay, Bada cannot do anything for itself. This rock in Ibadan has been weathering. You know weathering? It has been breaking to pieces and reinforced and carries the particles away. If it were your God, so the rain must be carrying your God away. I've given an example of a professor, Nobel Laureate, who came to Oshogbo here to collect Oshogbo water to carry to Cuba. A professor, you will carry a God from Oshogbo to Cuba, to Brazil. Professor, do you understand the Quran? He said he went there and he saw that they are worshipping Osho, but they don't have Osho water there. So he promised to bring their God to them from Nigeria to Brazil. professor, professor, whatever it is, with this hair on his head, professor. La yaqinun. La yaqinun. And they will regret on their fear. One of the reasons why the people will be put in the fire is because they did not think. Allah said it to the Quran. وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب. They will say to Allah on the day of Qiyamah, in fact, fire, لو كنا نسمع ثم كفاية تسيبون if we had listened. أو نعقل أبا الله قلوني أبا الشيء قلوني. That is if we were intelligent, ما كنا في أصحاب. We would not have entered hellfire. So who thinks that people enter hellfire? Adam and Sama, they did not listen to Quran when it was read to them and Hadith. Adam and Sama are fully, and they were not employing their intelligence. So if we say those people, professor did not read Quran, did not hear Hadith, Shiaqala wa Sanafu, his brain didn't tell him that what he said is nonsense. And even the journalist who reported it, she didn't know he was reporting nonsense. Because when you say nonsense, you speak nonsense and you become stupid. When you tell a lie, if a person tells a lie, when you report that lie, the lie would have moved on your lips. Do we understand? You did lie, but lie, you allowed lies to flow on your lips. So when the journalist was reporting it, he was allowing lies to flow on his pen. He was allowing senselessness and idiocy, precarious situation to go from his pen. A professor should know that he don't carry a god. Carry a god from Osun to Brazil. And that god that was carried cannot go to Brazil by himself. He is the god that will give them children in Brazil. Is the God that provides water and drink for them? Is the God that created them? Alhamdulillah, salamu salam. So my dear brothers and my sisters, shirk is bad in all its forms. Shirk is bad in all its forms. And it throws whoever comes into it, makes them live as we have described. We beg Allah to save us from that. So they take Oshun as their intermediary between them and Allah. Whoever does that, kafara ijma, by the consensus of the Muslims, that person is a kafir. Whoever takes Oshun should go as an intermediary between himself and Allah. Or Kibana, or Shagun, or any idol for that matter, or any afar for that matter. Thinking that this affair is the middleman between me and Allah in terms of my supplication cannot be answered except with this man. If I have to beg Allah, let me beg Shehu. Don't beg Shehu. Beg Allah. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we were not begging him and asking him. Was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq asking the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his own needs? Oh Muhammad, please, I need a child. No. No. What Allah I mean for me, every person should ask from Allah's favor. These points will be discussed with greater emphasis in our next class, inshallah. Using intermediaries. The Sheikh said, Man ja'ala baynahu wa bayna Allahi wa sa'i. Whoever brings an intermediary between or intermediaries between himself and Allah, yad'uhu wa yas'aluhu, that he prays to and asks for his needs, he asks them for shafa'ah, intercession, wa yatawakkalu alayhim, and they depend on them, kafara ijma'ah. Anybody who does so is completely a kafir by the consensus of the Muslims. Ibn Allah will give some better explanation of this second point in our next class. I hope we have come back now in our minds, inshallah, with that provision and preview of our next class, inshallah. He begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this as an act of worship for us. He begged him to forgive our mistakes and open up our shortcomings. Many of the Muslims are sick with these things. May Allah heal them all. We'll take questions, inshallah. Now, this is all. Amin wa Allah. You should slaughter the hand or cock. Well, there are two ways. As children growing up, when you go to Ilekyo Madaris, when you read Al-Qaidatul Baghdadi, after finishing part of it, they will say, slaughter Iran. When you finish, you slaughter. There can be two things to that. If the smart thing is that we are celebrating your success, having reached that place, and we eat ram, eat yam, eat rice, eat this, we want to eat. If it is because of the meat in it, we want to eat. After you have reached that stage, there is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. You want to slaughter the ram to eat. And that is allowed. But if the intention behind is that we have to appease from things, we have to do it otherwise something will happen to you. As they used to say when we recited Surah Yasin. The time you recite Yasin and you are not slaughtering something, your blood will be draining. Have you heard this? Because when they read Qutbat Yasin, I thought I mentioned it, they are mentioning the names of deen. Ya Tawqayayu, Ya Rawqayayu, Ya Jifni, that's everything. Tawqayayu, Rawqayayu are names of deen. They say, Ya Jifni, help me. They say, they call the names of the deen, and they say, help me. They call it Qutbat Yasin, it's a lie. Yasin does not have Qutbah. The meaning of Qutbah is common. The meaning of khutbah is what? There is no place that khutbah can mean dua in Lugha Arabia. There is no place that khutbah can mean dua. When they say, ah, I get to khutbah, it's a lie. There is nothing like khutbah. Khutbah means sermon. Wow. Admonition. Wow. And khutbah, they are the same. Synonyms. But Waz and Dua, they are not the same. Khutbah and Dua, they are not the same. So if you find an affair saying that if you really are saying, don't read in this other person, something will happen to you, stop knowing the kind of affair it is. If they say you really are saying, you have to read the khutbah, if you don't read the khutbah, something will happen, stop knowing where they are going to. Many of them are involved. So if you have that kind of a person teaching children in Ilegu, they say if you finish his addition, you must slaughter something. If what they mean is eat food, let's eat food, because it is accepted in Islam. The ulama call it walimatu shubbah. Walimatu shubbah. What that is, the celebration of proficiency. Proficiency in what you are reading. What you are learning, you are now proficient. You want to celebrate, no problem. You start, somebody comes and learn how to do next thing in Nabawi. He finishes, he wants to go, he says, cook something, let's eat, let's celebrate that it's allowed. And Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he just finished Surah Al-Fatiha, he made celebration. Many ulama used to do this from one stage of their ta'lim to the other. They will be celebrating. By way of encouraging the child, and by way of making ibadah, giving people food. When you feed people, it's ibadah. It's a hamdulillah. In this area, it can mean another thing. If you invite people today, come, I want to give you food, they come, they eat. You invite them another week, brother, please come, I have some food in my house, come and eat it, they come, they eat. Later, people start to take it, they go, yeah, that's all. Meanwhile, the prophet said, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He says, what did he say, alayhi salatu? What did the prophet say about that? I will say that. He says, well, how do you make Muhammad? Sadaqun al-Jannah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith says, very good. When you feed the people, you enter al-Jannah with peace, giving people food, calling people, come and eat. So people do that by way of thanking Allah, it's not wrong. At the same time, what to slaughter in that circumstance? You are not slaughtering it because you want to appease anybody. You want to eat with me. That's why you are celebrating. It's not wrong. But if their intention is they want to appeal from what they call Rawaniya, and like I said in about the last class or two classes ago, there is nothing like Rawaniya. It's even better. It's one unfortunate thing I have observed about most of our people. The Arabic is bad, the Quran is bad. They read Quran badly, they speak Arabic badly, and they are bad. But because the other people don't know, they take them for free and they exploit them. There is nothing like Rawaniya in Arabic lexicon. What they would say, Ruhaniya, ما يتعلق بالروح, something that is spiritual. It is not Rawah, it is Ruhaniya, something that is connected to the spirit, something spiritual, something you are not seeing but of course. They use that to refer to the jinn. Now, God. Bismillah. I hope we heard this question. We should not have intermediaries between we and Allah. But can we have intermediaries between we and people? Yes, we can. If you want a job in a commissioner's office, it is the commissioner that will sign the job and give it to you. If you know somebody who knows it, you can do that. They call that wasila. Means. Just like you want to go to Uruki Estate now, you can take a vehicle and go there. The vehicle is a means of reaching there. The means, the way to reach there is by using a car. That car is the means through which you reach your destination. It took you there. It made you reach where you are going. So if an individual has something you want, you can ask him, give me this. If he is in charge, you know somebody who knows him, you can use that person, please help me connect. But, like you said, when you beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't beg him, say, Shaykh, will help me do this, don't do that. That is what it meant in that explanation. When you are begging Allah, beg Allah alone. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord says, call me and I will answer you. Don't call Shehu, don't call Wali, don't call Dada, don't call anybody, call Allah. Hello. Now, what you want for which you beg Allah, somebody has it in his hands. You can now know somebody who knows the person who has that thing physically in his hand. Say, oh, please, I want that thing from so-so. You can call, collect from that person and give it to you. Or by means of that person's intervention, you got what you needed. It's correct. You can ask a person for what human beings can give. But you cannot ask human beings for what human beings cannot give. When you ask, that's another aspect of the whole discussion, when you ask a human being for what human beings cannot give, it is shirk. Human beings cannot give long life. And they give long life. They can't give long life. So if you ask human being, Baba, please, how can I have long life? It is what? Shirk. But the human being has a care of what I can do. Can I drink some water from this you have? Yes, he has it. It is his own. He gives it. It's not wrong. Although Islam does not encourage that. Islam does not encourage us to ask people for something they have on their hands. It's not encouraged. But if you have a need for it, no problem. Ask. It's allowed. But if you can avoid asking a human being, don't ask a human being. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu, when you have to answer, first Allah. When you ask, ask Allah alone. So your iman could rise to such a time when you will not ask any human being for anything you need. Even if that person has that thing on your hand or on his hand. You not ask him. You ask Allah. And that person, Allah, that thing you are holding, give it to him. And the person will give it to you. You've not seen it before. You need something that the person has. You are not asking that person, give me. You are asking Allah, the creator of the heart of that person. Allah, so and so thing somebody has. I want to let him give it to me. And the person says, where are you? Let me tell you this story. Last the Hajj before the last Hajj. This last Hajj that we just returned, they are last it. The Hajj before it, the brother narrated his story. He said he needed 5 riyals. Abu Fatima. The brother said he needed 5 riyals. 5 riyals. Equivalent to 200 naira. He said he was in front of the Kaaba. And he was saying, oh Allah, please give me 5 riyals. I need 5 riyals now. That he was looking at somebody. Somebody just stood up from where he was sitting, wrapped 5 riyals and put it in his pocket. He said, take your money, I don't want. So, the man was saying, no, take. He was asking, take. He said, no, I don't want. Take, I don't want. He said, he was not looking at it that it was 5 riyals. Brother, the brother said he was not. He didn't look at what the man was giving him, that it was 5 riyals. He asking Allah, I need 5 riyals. The 5 riyals was already in the pocket, and he was rejecting it. So after the stop, he left the 5 riyals. The person came to him and said, what were you asking? And I said, I was asking Allah, I need 5 riyals. He said, check your pocket. He checked his pocket and saw that the 5 riyals was in his pocket. Allah is fa'alu lima yurid. Our iman will grow to the extent that even human beings will not ask them for something. There are people who need like that. Even though it is allowed, we will not ask them. We will ask all our needs from who? Ar-Razzaq. I hope the question is responded to. The question I have outside the basket already. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi. I will answer the question at another time, perhaps today, inshallah. But I prefer questions that are connected to iman and shirk and all of this. But I'll come back to it, inshallah. There's one here that draws my attention. When a person commits shirk and comes back to Islam, really, Does it mean all his past worship have been nullified? Some of the ulama say they have been nullified. Because Allah says, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلِكَ. If you ever commit shirk, I will waste all your deeds. وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And then you'll be amongst the losers. So some scholars say that all the works are lost before the shirk. Some scholars say when the person comes back to Islam, all those works will be given back to him. They say because Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ سَيُبَدِلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ, that Allah said when people commit or perform good deeds after an evil, which in this case is coming into Islam freshly after having committed shirk, that سَيُبَدِلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ, that evil they have done, Allah will convert it to good for them. He will cancel those evil deeds. It says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah will forgive them and return their good deeds back to them. So this second position appears most correct. Because if an individual has some deeds that he was performing as a mushrik, the person was a mushrik, was doing some good deeds that Islam knows as good deeds, like sadaqah, like connecting the ties of kinship, like saying the truth and never telling lies, like respecting your husband, like doing good to people. These are good deeds that Islam recognizes, Abi. But the person is a mushrik. If the person accepts Islam, will he get the rewards of those good deeds? The ulama raised this issue. People like Shaykh al-Bas rahimahullah said that he will get the reward. And they bring the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Jud'an. Abdullah ibn Jud'an was a rasta who later became a sensible person, but very rich. He will give people food. You don't ask Ibn Jud'an for one thing, you ask him for 10 things. He asked him for one camel, he will not give you. Ask him for 10. When he's cooking food, they climb the ladder to enter into the court to give people food. Ibn Jud'an. So one day Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet Muhammad, will he be rewarded for all those good deeds? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no. Because he never made shahada. He never said, Allahumma ghfirli. Oh Allah, forgive me. He never said that. So Allah will not reward him. The ulama say it means that if he has ever made a statement of iman to show tawbah away from shirk into Islam, that good deed or those good deeds he was doing, he would have been rewarded for them. Do you understand? What about a person who was doing the good deeds when he's a Muslim or when he was a Muslim, but the person fell into shirk and came back to Islam? There is no doubt that this person accepting his deeds and rewarding him for his past deeds is alabab in awla. It's more. Do you understand? You have a better chance. The person who was a mushrik doing good deeds that Allah accepts, but was only a mushrik and will not be rewarded for those good deeds because of shirk. If he had accepted Islam, he would be rewarded for those good deeds he did, even when he was a Muslim. What about a person who was doing good deeds as a Muslim? Do you understand? Who now commits shirk and comes back to Islam? Definitely, the deeds that he was performing as a Muslim, he will be rewarded for them. I hope it is clear. Inshallah. So the person will be rewarded for them, inshallah. Can a spirit suddenly appear at someone, and can someone know that it has appeared? Yes, it's possible that you suddenly see something in front of you, like a jinn or like a spirit or something. It's possible. Yes, there are people who have experienced things like that. They suddenly see things in front of them. Like one of our sisters who studied medicine. She used to have serious headache and all that. when in sin, university at the same time. So she used to make a lot of rukia. She was a medical student. She said one day the hand just came out from the wall, like this, trying to touch her. She removed her shoe, and she was beating the hand and reciting Ayat al-Kursi with her shoe. The wall, you will see what I will do to you today. She removed her shoe and was beating the hand that came out from inside the wall. She said as she was doing it, she was reciting Ayat al-Kursi, and the hand disappeared. From that day, she never had that strange headache again. Don't be afraid. Ataqshawnahu wallahu ahaqqu an taqshawhu in kuntum mu'minin. See, Allah, are you afraid of them? It is Allah alone that has the greater right to be feared if we are believers. It means what we need to work on is our iman, our own tawheed, our learning problem. May Allah ease our affairs. We go back and be working on this tawheed and iman. And Allah will make it to rise, inshallah. Can we trade in the masjid? Can we trade in the masjid? Somebody calls you, you are selling the church card. It's better to go out of the masjid. Because the word trade will be established between yourself and that person. Who calls you in the masjid? Say, send 500 naira church card to me. And you are in the masjid, you send it. It's better you go out. So that word trade will not be established against you while you are in the masjid. Okay? May Almighty Allah accept our act of worship. He forgive our mistakes. Even like next week, our starting time, inshallah, is 4:30. By 4:30, we say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And we'll be ending, inshallah, at 6 o'clock. We have a lecture between 4:30 to 5:30. And between 5:30 and 6 o'clock, we make it special and answer time. أقول ما أقول هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته